And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Finally Friday is being brought to you this week by Major Spoilers VIP and Patreon members from around the world. You can show your support for Major Spoilers and everything we do by pointing your browser to patreon.com/majorspoilers and signing up today. Well, happy Friday to you, wherever you may be. I hope it is a good Friday for you. It was an interesting week here at Major Spoilers. Did I tell you I got hit by a car this week? Seriously. Weather this week is going to be, or this weekend is going to be insane. It was 90 degrees yesterday when I took my son to soccer practice. 90 degrees. It's now 45 and falling, and sometime tonight, probably around 9 o'clock when I sit down to edit Critical Hit, we are supposed to be in blizzard conditions from now until sometime tomorrow afternoon. Springtime. Love the springtime in western Kansas. You never know what is going to happen. You never know when the snow is just going to suddenly decide, hey, you remember all that snow you were supposed to get in December and in January? Just dump it on you when it's almost May. How does that sound for you? So I have that to look forward to this weekend. Marshall is in the chat. Jarmo is in the chat. I don't know who else is in the chat, but hello. If you're over on Twitch, hello over on the Twitch channel. twitch.tv/majorspoilers. If you haven't subscribed over there, please do so. Yeah, I got hit by a car this week. It's the craziest thing. It is the craziest thing. You know what else is crazy? I think I've spoken about this before. I see a trend. Now, I can't confirm 100% that this is what is going on. But I see a trend happening, and I'm waiting for a publisher to step forward and say, yes, we've run the numbers, and here's what's going on. Many of you may know, if you listen to the Major Spoilers podcast and a lot of other podcasts that I appear on, quite a few actually, you know that for the better part of, 4 years now, I've been talking about the need to move away from a weekly or a monthly title release. Just because the numbers don't add up. At least to me, they don't add up. In fact, a couple of Fridays ago, we were talking a little bit about this. But I think it makes sense for more publishers to move to an original graphic novel release of their books, even if it's only like once a quarter, once every 6 months, once a year, like what they're doing with Earth One at DC Comics. I think that may sell better. It has a longer shelf life if it's a complete book. And quietly, I see publishers doing this. Boom Studios is the one that I point to the most. And if you go and look in the archives over at majorspoilers.com, you'll notice that Boom Studios has been quietly announcing OGNs left and right. It's not like they haven't released original graphic novels in the past, but it just seems like since 2018 has started, they've released more than they have in the past. The most recent one they've announced is the first ever Lumberjanes original graphic novel, Now that series, I don't know if the series ended at 50 or if that was the current, the release, but we know that the Lumberjanes, The Infernal Compass, is set to arrive in October of 2018, written by Lila Sturgis, with art by, and I forget who was doing the art on this. I don't see it here in front of me. But that's something that could have been just its own series. But they're going to release that as a graphic novel. And if you go back and you look in the Boom archives, you'll see a lot more of those. What else do we have? We've got a bunch of, as I scroll through here, let's bring this up. So there is the Lumberjanes OG, and then we got a bunch of sneak peeks. Of course, we always get a lot of great sneak peeks from Boom Studios. Here's one called Petals, an original graphic novel from Boom Studios that comes around about a little family of foxes that are starving during the wintertime. And a little fox goes out, and he meets a stranger who, I don't know if it's helping him or if it's an allegory for death. I don't know what it is. Form of a Question, a graphic novel memoir from Andrew J. Rosten and Kate Casanow. Those are three that have just been announced. Bone Parish, that's a series. Bunch more sneak peeks, so on and so forth. I really think Boom Studios is lining itself up to do OGN after OGN until it finds out this perfect balance between, hey, 50% of our titles are going to be OGNs and 50% of our titles are going to be ongoing series like the Go-Go Power Rangers or WWE. I don't know. We've talked about this before, but I'm calling it now. Boom Studios is going to be the first one to announce that they're going to have a major initiative push for doing nothing but original graphic novels with some, you know, monthly releases. But they're primarily going to shift to OGNs. I just have a feeling. It's just something in my gut now. Again, this is all total opinion on my part. I have no inside knowledge. In fact, when I questioned Boom Studios about it, they responded back going, well, we always are releasing original graphic novels, blah, blah, blah. We're not willing to make any other statements at this time, except that our OGN game is strong. Jarmo says, I would love Boom Studios and perhaps IDW to do that. Now, I have not seen a lot of OGN announcements from IDW Publishing. However, the second company on this list that is starting to announce a lot more one-shot type projects is Dark Horse Comics. I don't think Dark Horse is in the place to do that yet. I think they're doing okay with their Dark Horse books and their Art of series that they've been doing for all the video game stuff. But as I just keep, like, it seems like a couple of times a month I'm getting a notice about a new OGN and not so much about new series that are coming from Boom. Now, they've got new stuff coming out all the time, but it seems like those OGNs are standing out. And that may only be because it's the center of my attention, and I'm always on this lookout on the periphery of what's going on with the original graphic novels. So, yeah. So here's Nate, the great 8-0. Nate, where have you been the last couple of weeks? I have missed you. Nate says, I may get back into comics if they go OGN. Think about that. People who haven't been into it, people who don't have the time to go to their bookstore, people who are tired of mixed up schedules. As I talked this week on the Dueling Review podcast, so many of you over at patreon.com/majorspoilers voted that next week we're supposed to do ROM and the Space, ROM and the Micronauts number 4, which we would have done. It was on the original list until finally the final solicitation data came out. Now, of course, this may all change, but it looks like that book has been bumped a week. So I go into the store looking for ROM the Micronauts, and the store owner's like, sorry, man, that's not going to come out for another week. You'll have to come back next week. You want me to put it on a pull list for you? Have you started a pull list for me? It only takes a moment to fill out a pull list. I'm probably going to go away and then next week forget that ROM and the Micronauts number 4 is out and then not buy that book. But if I can go in and buy the entire story, the entire Lumberjanes arc of the Lethal Compass, that might be more appealing. Of course, the other reason to get into more OGNs is because those can get on the traditional bookstore shelves, which, of course, you know, the comic book shops, the brick and mortars aren't having any of that business. Anybody else that sells comic books that's not a comic shop is like akin to, it's a blaspheme against the comics industry. Man, comic shop owners, they need to figure out what's more important, the comics industry, their customers, or themselves. Again, we've talked about this before, generated a lot of conversation about customer service and the like. I was called a good socialist. I believe Jarmo called me a good socialist because of my views. Adapt or die, right? Isn't that how it is? Oh, man. This is a wacky week. Did I tell you I got hit by a car this week? Tell you what else is really weird having to do with comic shops. Listen to this. I think I may have the conspiracy theory to end all conspiracy theories. Are you ready for this? Prepare to have your mind blown. This gets a little political. Just a little political. So if you're offended by politics and you're offended by Donald Trump, you may want to tune out for just a couple of minutes. But here's this conspiracy theory. So many of you have been asking, Stephen, what's going on with Comixology and these crazy, insane Marvel trade paperback deals that they have going on? So if you're not familiar with this, for the last, month or so, Comixology has been running these sales. They're very limited, short, sales, where you can get a bunch of Marvel trade paperbacks for 99 cents. Some of them are old trades, but some of them are day and date trades, right? So like, instead of going to your comic shop and spending $14.99 on a trade paperback, you can go to Comixology and you can get that same trade paperback for 99 cents. And of course, up until maybe last week, this has been on the front page of Comixology. And oh man, if you want to see store owners get all twisted in a knot over this, this is the talking thing that has them most agitated and most angry. Even so much so that at C2E2, during the Marvel Retailer Summit, a couple of them stood up, or at least one of them is noted, and another one went to Facebook to write a long angry rant, went on to say that, hey, I'm no longer going to be buying trade paperbacks from Diamond if people are just going to go to Comixology and get it for 99 cents. If they are selling it less than I can buy it for, then I have no business doing business with you. So you Marvel, shaking his fist. I can see some angry old man shaking his fist saying, you better do something about that digital comics there or you're going to lose my business. This is really amazing because retailers need to be super, super careful about what they're saying to Marvel and to Diamond in this regard. Because if somebody wanted to do some pushback, if suddenly Comixology said, well, we felt really pressured to raise the prices back up to SRP prices, at least for a short time, to make the brick and mortars happy, which is what they're doing with the single issues, that could be considered price fixing. Think about that. Somebody could go after the local comic book shop and charge them with price fixing if they had any kind of influence on Marvel or Diamond to influence Comixology on how much they set their price for comics. Now, the appropriate response, I believe this was C.B. Cebulski. The appropriate response from C.B. Cebulski, I believe that's who it was. It wasn't Tom Brevoort. But Cebulski goes on and says, hey, look, we're talking with Comixology about this. We know what's going on. He didn't say it was a problem, right? He did say that Comixology and Amazon are free to set the prices however they want to set the prices. And this happens all the time, right? I mean, this was the big reason why bookstores were closing down is because Amazon was charging a lot less for the books than what the bookstore could. And so people were leaving the bookstore in droves, and suddenly it was the end of the world for the bookstores. And I think that's what comic shops are afraid of as well. Although I did have a well-known comics writer contact me this week and say, hey, look, comic stores have always been the first to grump and complain about the prices of comics and are super resistant to any kind of change in comics, which I think is kind of the actual point, right? I mean, nothing says that a comic store has to order or has to sell their book for SRP. I don't see comic shops going after other comic shops for selling their entire inventory for 50% less. And I'm sure that there is some kind of, yes, I don't know the whole business dealings with Diamond and Comixology, or with Comixology and Marvel directly, or Amazon or whatever, because obviously with a physical product, the more you order, the cheaper it gets. Sorry about that. But with a digital thing, just ones and zeros, right? So that's the factual kind of stuff. These are the things that I see it. Here's where we get into the dark side. Here's where we get into the conspiracy theory. Who owns Comixology? Comixology is owned by Amazon. So Amazon and Comixology are free to set the prices however they want, including 99-cent trades. Who does this impact the most? Well, it could impact local comic shops. But really, selling something at 99 cents when a publisher is trying to sell it at $14.99 or whatever the price of that trade paperback is, ultimately could hurt the publisher. Unless, of course, you sell 14,000 times more copies of the book through your digital program. So ultimately, lowering the price hurts Marvel, right? Or could potentially hurt Marvel. It really doesn't, because Marvel already made their money off the single issues, but, you know, work with me here. It's a conspiracy theory. They're not supposed to be well thought out. Who owns Marvel? Well, yes, you are correct. Ike Perlmutter owns Marvel. Ike Perlmutter, the recluse who bought Marvel a long time ago, really took Marvel from bankruptcy and made it a number one company, both in publishing and in movies and television. It was bought out by Disney. So ultimately, this could hurt Ike Perlmutter, right? Well, that doesn't seem right. Unless you realize that Ike Perlmutter is often seen advising Trump when he goes to his weekend getaways in Mar-a-Lago. Trump and Perlmutter have been friends for years. Perlmutter is a big advocate, even though he doesn't sit on any official board. He does advocate quite a lot to Trump and bends his ear in relation to Veterans Affairs, which is, you know, very noble. I applaud him for that. But maybe this is ultimately a dig at the president. Why? Why would Comixology, which is owned by Amazon, be twisting the knife in Trump by lowering the prices of trade paperbacks? Could it be because Trump has been attacking Jeff Bezos? Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post? And that's who Trump really has a problem with? Is the Washington Post? So he attacks Jeff Bezos and the Postal Service? There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The conspiracy theory, to end all conspiracy theories, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Stephen, are you being serious about this? All I'm going to say is A to B to C to D, draw the line, complete the circle. The circle of pettiness among billionaires, or supposed billionaires. Oh, what's with the don't touch my spaghetti? So my kids are into that too. I have to tell them, dude, that's so racist. Maybe not racist, but that is so offensive. Such a slur. Don't do that. So there you go. The room has gone suddenly silent. The room has gone suddenly silent over my comments about this conspiracy theory. I think it's starting to sink in. I think people are starting to realize, oh my gosh, it all makes sense now. It is all so clear. It's all petty squabbles. It's all petty squabbles. And I know what the flip side of the argument is, well, maybe Comixology is lowering their prices because Comixology is in trouble. I don't think so. Not when digital comic sales continue to rise over the last 3 years. There's been continued growth in the digital comics market. You can go look at this on Comicron and see their analysis each month. But it continues to rise. So I don't think that's it. I mean, it could be. If you were asking me, Stephen, be serious for one moment and tell me why is Comixology lowering those prices on those trade paperbacks day and date release, I think the great Nate O just said it himself. I may get back into comics if they go to OGNs. I may go back to, let's rewrite Nate's phrasing and saying, I may go back to comics if I can get trades really cheap, if I can get into stories really cheap. And Comixology isn't doing this with every Marvel trade paperback. It's a select grouping from what I've been able to look at. And it's not like 1 week you're going to get Captain America Volume 1 and then the next week Captain America Volume 2. This is that old drug dealer saying, come children, take a taste of these $1 trade paperbacks. And then if enough people are interested in it, enough people will bite, maybe they will go and buy the single issues, or maybe they'll go into that back issue bin over at Comixology and buy those $3.99 comics for 99 cents. Oh, I don't hear comic retailers complaining about the 3 months later that those prices are 99 cents. Oh, I don't hear retailers complaining about Marvel Unlimited or the DC Unlimited or the Comixology Unlimited service. No, just about those trade paperbacks. Those trade paperbacks that are evergreen material that will sit on the shelves for the longest amount of time and can reap the largest benefit. Almost like people realize that the real money is in a good collected trade or an OGN. Jarmo says, why digital comics, though? Aren't there better channels? I'm not sure what you mean by why digital comics. Aren't there better channels? Are you talking about digging that knife into Ike Perlmutter and ultimately Trump? I mean, if Trump wants to be petty and attack Amazon and its policies of shipping materials, instead of attacking the Washington Post, which is who he ultimately has the greatest beef with, then yes, there probably are better channels, but hey, it's my conspiracy theory. Live in that world. Let's go to the phones now. Let's say hi. Who is this?
Hey, it's Bill Schwager, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, Bill. How are you?
I'm good, except I just jumped in the car, and I'm coming in hot, and all I hear is that you have a huge conspiracy theory. So I actually missed it, but, you know.
Oh, the conspiracy theory in a nutshell is Comixology has lowered the price of trade paperbacks to 99 cents to dig into Ike Perlmutter and ultimately Donald Trump.
Well, okay, I'll buy it. Sure. When to wear my? I have a 6 3/4 tinfoil hat size, so I'm ready.
Where are we going to gather? Bill?
Oh no, it's been a week. It's just been a long, crazy.
It has
week.
Been.
It's been nuts, and I told my team today. I said, "Look, today we can either execute, or
Uh-oh.
We can elevate.
Oh,
or we
you don't
can,
mean like
or
execute
we can
like
elevate."
In-
No, no. I said we can either execute the day or we can elevate the day.
Yeah.
But it's been a long week, so I think we can get away with executing. So
okay.
That was my demotivational speech for today. But yeah,
all
it's
right.
been a long, long week, so I'm glad it's finally Friday. So, and I'm kind of with Nate, though. If I could get some sort of, you know, cheaper options and complete stories, like I find that my single issues, and I've drastically cut my single issue intake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time. They stack up and I feel guilty and, you know, I just don't have the time to go through them all.
Yeah, that's why I like the digital because, I mean, I literally have a room I can barely walk into now because it's stuffed with comics and pop culture paraphernalia. And yet I can have, you know, 30,000 comics on Comixology and it takes up zero room on my end, unless I want to transfer it to my mobile device.
But my problem is with the iPad, and I have Marvel Unlimited, but out of sight, out of mind. Like, I almost don't even think about
it. Yeah, that's also the other problem, right? Yeah.
So I'm so far behind. I mean, I am barely, you know, I haven't read Secret Empire. I haven't read any of the big events. Like, I am, like, pretty much stopped, roughly, with the exception of a few titles, around, Secret Wars. So mm-hmm. I am woefully behind. Apparently Captain America was bad. Iron Man was dead. I don't know. But
well, I think Iron Man is still dead. I don't know what the status is on him. I really don't. But Captain America is good again. And Black Panther is getting a new number one next week.
And I love Mark Waid and Chris Omni, so I'm sure I will go back to that run on Captain America, which I think just is starting to wrap up. I'll get to all of it, but it's been out of sight, out of mind. I've been mm-hmm. sticking with the physical copies, primarily with, you know, some Image titles, but yeah, I trade paperbacks if I can, you know, sit down and have a full meal. That's what's attractive to me these days.
Yeah, for me it has been, especially on the Hellboy universe, we get electronic reviews. A lot of times they're like, hey, if you want to review this, please contact us first, kind of stuff from Dark Horse. But lately, instead of trade waiting, I am omnibus waiting, because Dark Horse has been printing these giant oversized omnibus editions of Hellboy for many, many years now. And so I've been slowly buying these. They're like $120 a piece, but they are huge. They're beautiful. They've got the art is just spectacular when you open them up. I don't know if they're $120. I seem to remember they're quite expensive. But I've just been kind of collecting those because I think it's more interesting to read and see on the shelf in that form than a bunch of bagged and boarded comics that nobody wants to open.
True.
And I think it's easier for people to want to pick up and read it when they see a big, you know, well-bound book that says Hellboy on the side. But I'm kind of in the same boat that you are.
Am I getting old? Is that what it is?
I think that is what it is. And there's nothing wrong with aging out of comics. If you've been listening to the Legion Clubhouse, you know that for years the idea was at DC was that kids or the readership of comics flips every 3 to 5 years. So you have to keep reintroducing the same thing again and again, or rehashing stories again and again, because that's all the time that you had with those readers. So maybe you are.
Well, I held
maybe,
on.
Maybe you're getting old.
Maybe I am. I held on for a good 35 years. So
yeah.
No, but there's still some series that really fire me up. Like I've been on the Lazarus bandwagon. I think that's tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. There's still some titles that I'm very excited by. Wicked and Divine, mm-hmm. but by and large, like the ongoing soap opera of Marvel, I always will love it. I will always have a special place in my heart, but you know, I was always a Bendis guy and a Matt Fraction guy and an Ed Brubaker guy. And
yeah,
so Jason Aaron is still there and Mark Waid mm-hmm. is still there. Like mm-hmm. a lot of the sort of architects have moved on. So it's every comic is somebody's jumping on point, and it's
right.
also somebody's jumping off point. So
yep.
I don't know.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What would get you back into reading comics on a more regular basis? Releasing periodic OGNs that have a complete arc in them, or cutting the cover price in half of a single issue?
It's not for me. It's not the price. It's literally the time. I'm not saying I'm daddy big bucks or anything like that. It's not that. It's, you know, I buy the titles that I buy. It is for me. It is time. It is space. It is having a complete experience. Like,
yeah.
So I will have, when I go to the, you know, my LCS every month or couple of months, I'll
right.
have a stack. And then on a Sunday morning, if I have nothing going on, you know, I'll read,
mm-hmm.
you know, 6 issues of Tom King's Batman. Like,
yeah, you lay out all those comic books on the floor and you lay there on the floor reading your comic books on a Sunday morning.
It's great. It's great. I'm not too old for that. So, you know, but then they'll stop on a cliffhanger or what have you.
Yeah.
And I would much prefer sort of that singular reading experience. And having, you know, like a sort of the TV season analogy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before, too. The reason why releasing an arc in a single volume is because of this binge-watching society that we've built up around Netflix. People want to do the same thing with their comics.
I'm with you.
What's going on the book front, man?
A few months ago, I had turned in my manuscript, and my agent was like, 67% of this has been executed perfectly. And I said, well, I'm not a math major, but that sounds like a lot of work still left. So I turned in a revised manuscript, and now instead of sort of 33% is wrong, now we're just down to like a couple of plot points that need to be worked out. So
cool.
I am hoping to have that wrapped up within a month, and hopefully by mid-May or June, I will be out on submission, which is basically the agent sends it around to editors and says, hey, you should really pick this up. And so then the waiting game begins.
Yeah.
But
well, hopefully you won't have that long to wait, right? I mean, you've already been published, so that makes you more attractive to a publisher.
I would hope so. I would think so. I have, my current publisher, I really have a great relationship with them. So maybe it'll be easiest if they just say, okay, we really like this and we would like to move on this. Or another publisher. I don't know. But, it really has to, I think that'll only get you so far. I think they have to be excited because it'd be the first book of
right.
what I hope would be a new series.
Right.
So it all depends. But I was on, when I first sent out The Beast of Barcroft, I was on submission for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a long waiting experience, but I filled it by writing another book. So, that's
the way
always
to do it.
Keep moving, keep creating. And that's the way to, pass the time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope the best. I hope that the last round of editing goes well and you're able to get it out soon. And that the publishers just snag it up.
I hope so. I will keep you posted for sure.
Yeah, definitely do that. So another question I have. The Beast of Barcroft series that you had, which is fantastic. Listeners, if you haven't, go look up Bill Schweigert on that Amazon link at majorspoilers.com. And buy those three books. They are really good books. And he also has another one or two before that?
Just one.
Just the one. The question I have for you, though, have you thought about the young adults? Has your editor ever told you, your agent ever told you, Bill, where all the money is in books is getting into young adult and getting in that scholastic book listing?
It's funny because my daughter is on me. She's like, write something I can read. I'm like, no. So why can't I read your books? Because I don't want to give you nightmares. Well, write something that I can read. But it's funny. I don't want to. My agent had approached me with a potential ghostwriting opportunity for a YA pitch that someone had done. And ultimately, it wasn't something that it wasn't a story that I felt I could take ownership of or that really excited me.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate it. And I told my agent, I was like, hey, please keep considering me for this. This story wasn't right for me, but I will sell myself and do that. But if I could come up with it, I have the utmost respect for YA. I think, and you can do a lot of dark stuff with YA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm kind of like, I read The Hunger Games. I'm like, surely they're not going to kill kids. Oh, they kill kids.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. If I could come up with a hook, if I could come up with an idea, I am certainly not against it. The stuff that I've done so far and the ideas that I have are definitely more adult themed.
Mm-hmm.
But if I got an idea, it is a hot market. So
yeah, it really is. It really is. Well, Bill, it's so good to hear from you again after so many weeks. It has been many weeks since you've been on the show.
We took a trip. My daughter was on spring break, and it's been nutty in the office. But I'm back, and it's Friday at 4:30. Even when I'm unable to call, my teeth itch because I'm like, I want to talk to the gang. So
all right. Well, thank you for calling in, Bill. You have a great weekend, and I can't wait to hear you. I keep checking out the Author Stories podcast to see when you're going to appear on it. But I haven't seen it pop up there yet.
I want to have something to sell, so I'm not going to reach out to them until I have a deal.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But
good luck with that.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. Take care, Bill. Bye.
Take it easy.
Whoops, I cut him off. I'm probably going to be shoveling tomorrow. I don't know how much snow we are supposed to get. But we are supposed, but they said blizzard. Blizzard tonight until tomorrow. Oh. Look, I've even got a little warning. High wind warning and snow warning. Blizzard warning. What a blizzard condition is expected. Wind gusting as high as 60 miles per hour will cause whiteout conditions. Oh. Total snow accumulation only 2 inches. That's nothing. That is nothing. Jarmo says that he has all of his Hellboy books in those library editions. They're wonderful. Go get those. Those are fantastic. Nate says, hey, Harry Potter killed kids. Nate says, crossover event OGN are the way to go, man. Let's see. Who else is on the phone line? Hi, who is this?
Hey, Steven, it's Nato. How are you,
It's the great Nato, also someone we have not heard from in weeks and weeks and weeks. I think the last time we talked with you, you were heading to, it wasn't Colorado. I think you were going to Tampa or something.
Yes. I was on my way to Tampa on I-4 in massive traffic.
Yeah. So what's going on this week? What fun adventures have you been having?
Oh, no, none at all, because it's been work. Horrible work. And I blew my knee out last Saturday.
Oh, no, that's not good.
No, we actually have a competition next weekend that I probably will not be able to go to. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the other guy was worse than you.
Unfortunately, I started doing this creative extreme forms with weapons.
Oh yeah.
So I was
Is that like with like
with bow
poles and swords and stuff?
Yeah, bow staff to like mm-hmm. music.
Oh.
So
neat.
So it's, you know, it's a self choreographic type thing. You have to have some. The creative is more just technique. The extreme is like you can throw stuff and do flips. That's not me right now or anytime in the future, but more of the releases stuff. I'm probably going to next season. I'm probably going to use the gumdo, the sword, because I can flip that around a lot easier than a bow staff. So,
yeah. And do you do this all to, flash dance? What a feeling.
No, I know.
Well,
then
at least tell me you're doing it to you're the best.
Maybe next year.
Okay.
The only thing I can think of is the Das Machined from Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which,
okay.
Yeah, the one thing they did at the end, so the lighted up one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had I was working, I was had everything timing right. I finally got it down and I do this one jump kick. I do land, I do a turn, another kick, and as soon as I turned, I popped my knee. So,
Do you have a big nasty brace on?
No, it's a small one right now. So just keeping it compressed, iced in heat, trying to heal it a little bit. But we'll see what happens.
That makes me.
I know.
Makes me cringe just thinking about it.
Yeah. Not fun.
Well, I'm glad you're okay, though. I mean, overall.
Well, it's not like I got hit by a car or anything.
Yeah, did I tell you guys that I got hit by a car this week? Oh, man.
Gosh.
So what's coming? So what is going on with your routine then for next week? Are you totally out of the competition then? Or can you do a lighter version of it and they'll, you know,
not,
look kind
not
of
not really
because
you're injured? Yes and no, but mostly I'll probably just not do it, but I'll go down. My daughter will be competing, so I'll be going down there and I'll be dressed out and I'll judge. So I'll do all judging of lower belt forms and stuff. So I'll participate in that way. So,
okay, cool.
Which sucks. It's because this is the end of the tournament cycle. So it's like the last thing I can get to get points in and stuff for like state champion and district champs and stuff like that. So
Now when you're
whatever,
do they have like a 45 and up age group?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or are you competing with, like, young kids?
No. I'm competing between 40 and 49 second and third degree black belts.
Okay, cool. All right. So it's not like some young whippersnapper like your son is going to haul off and hit his dad.
Well, I would hurt them, but no. Those kids are like a buck 50. I'm like 215.
Uh-huh.
No. it's like, yeah, and that happens. We actually, a couple of weeks ago, we were sparring and stuff, and he was like, yeah, see, I can see that. I can block anything. And then I did something and kicked him right in the head. And I'm like, well, you didn't see that coming, did you?
Oh, Nate. Always putting those young whippersnappers in their place.
That's right. I don't tell them to get off my lawn. I go kick them off of it.
Anything else on your mind this week?
The only thing is, of course, I want to give praise to Bill because I did finish all three books.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, they were good. The one thing that you'll know, the one hug that she does.
Yeah.
I was reading it and I was literally like, why are my eyes, you know, leaking right now? I'm like, I don't
emotion,
know why.
Nate.
Oh, it was horrible. I did not like it whatsoever.
Yeah.
But again, ringing endorsement for Bill. I'm telling you, the way he writes characters, the way you love even the villains you love, everyone is written great. And the way he goes from like a first person to a third person to a narrator, like pretty much like in the same chapter is amazing. So mm-hmm. he just spins a great story.
Yep, he definitely does. And I can't wait to read because I think he's talked about it on the show before. That the new story is, I believe, superhero based.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And so I think that's going to be really, really exciting. I think that's what he said. I hope I'm not spoiling anything for anybody.
Well, you mentioned something.
None of our site, majorspoilers.com.
But the only other thing is, going back to like the trade stuff like you guys are talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the biggest thing too, is it's like, I don't have even like when I was reading Bill's books, the only time I was actually getting to read them, it's not even that I don't want to pay for them. It's that I don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time to read 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, if you give it to me in a big lump sum, I will read it a lot easier and quicker than I will be able to. I got to wait 2 more months for the, you know, for the story. And then
right, exactly.
The only time I'm doing it is when I'm traveling or, you know, I have, you know, 5 spare minutes at home, which never really happened. So,
Yep. Ah, man, I wish there was an easier answer. I mean, that's the only way I'm getting through books right now is because they're all audio books and I am able to focus on them when I go out and do my walks. And so I'm able to, you know, blow through books like left and right, just because of that. So I wish there was something equivalent to comics, but it doesn't work that way because it's a visual medium.
That is true.
Yeah.
There is an art aspect to it, or a visual aspect to it. So, but that's all I have for this week. So,
all right.
But
well, you rest and convalesce, get some ice on that knee. You probably will have time to read comics this weekend, I guess.
I may.
You just need to get some.
Well, I do have Comixology, so. I know I have to catch up. I have to catch up with Lock and Key with you guys because I did buy them. I do have them, but I haven't had a chance to read them. So,
oh yeah, that volume 4.
I want to try to get ahead. I want to try to get ahead of you guys. So,
yeah, definitely get through 4 and 5 because 5 is the next one that we'll do next month, I believe. Every other month is when we're doing the Lock and Key stuff. So in May we'll have another Lock and Key. So if you can get through 5 before May, you will be set.
Sweet.
All right, Nate, well, you have a great weekend, and we will talk with you soon.
See ya.
Bye. So a couple of programming notes. First of all, there will be no Finally Friday next week. My son has a soccer tournament, and I must take him to that. Also, there is a VIP Patreon live event this weekend, Saturday. So if you are a VIP or a Patreon member at the $10 and up level, we will be doing our live stream. I believe it's Matthew and I and maybe D&D Brian. I can't remember if he said he was coming or not, but if we're having a big blizzard snow, even though it says only 2 inches, I may tell him to stay home. But we do have that. It is Saturday at 1:00 p.m. Central Time. If you're a Patreon member or a VIP member, links will be appearing tomorrow morning. And then at 1 o'clock, you can just click on that and you can watch away and you can ask questions about what we do at Major Spoilers and behind the scenes questions and so much more. I've got a couple of technology ideas that I want to talk to our producers about. It sounds pretty cool. I have yet to get my hands on this, and I don't know who to contact at Microsoft to get on the beta team on this. But it's very promising, very, very promising. But I'll talk more about that tomorrow. Also on Saturday, I have been doing the game streams in the afternoon, so I will do that again tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. Central Time. It looks like I'm going to dive into the world of Hearthstone once more now that the new expansion has been released. We'll check out some of the decks and see what I have and see what I can build and see what I can do with them. Maybe I'll go some solo adventures this time to see how far we can get. And then, man, I've been having a real hankering. Is that the word old people are supposed to use? I got a hankering for playing me some, what's that train game? Ticket to Ride. So we may jump into Ticket to Ride tomorrow as well. Did I tell you guys that I got hit by a car this week? It's really a stupid story. It really is dumb. So first of all, yes, I'm fine. I'm here, right? I'm fine. And I'm playing this up as a joke because it's really so stupid. So I go on a walk in the morning. I'm now up to, for the last week and a half, 6 miles a day. I'm back up to what I was like 2 years ago. Most recently, I've been only doing like 3 or 4 miles a day. But I'm back up to the 6 miles again, which is great. But I go and do it. I take the kids to school, and then I come home, and then I go and walk. And so this is like 7:45 in the morning. I'm out on the road. And if you know anything about 7:45 in the morning, you know that the sun is coming up, and it's right in your face. And you know, because it's springtime in Kansas. Didn't they do a musical about that? Springtime in Kansas. You know that sometimes there may be a little frost on your windows. Now, when I walk, believe me, I even though I've got my AirPods in, and I'm listening to a book, I am hyper-focused on cars that are around me. Because the last thing that I want to do is get run over by a car. And whenever I approach an intersection, if a car is pulling up, I will stop and I will wait for that car to go through. Because usually I don't want to hold them up while my slow butt goes across the street. So this week, I am not even a half mile from my house. Literally 4.49 miles away from my house. Because I got a tracker that tracks my every single move, right? It's ordered by the courts. Not really. I am in the middle of an intersection when a little Accord pulls up. I'm in the middle of the intersection. So I'm like, well, I'm already in the intersection. I'm not stopping. This person has seen me. I was well into the middle of the intersection even before they came to a stop. And so I kept walking. And literally, the minute I am directly in front of the car, the driver steps on the gas and just knocks me clear out into the middle of the intersection. And of course, I was mad. I said a few curse words. Guy jumps out of my car. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I cursed at him real quick. And I guess it was serious enough because there's a guy that is like 2 or 3 doors down the street who came running up to make sure I was okay. Of course, by the time he got there, I was already standing up and walking around. My knee, I think, was a little bruised from landing on my knee. But I just kind of rolled, you know. It's a Accord is a low car. It's not like I got hit by a Jeep or a truck or something that probably would have just hit me on the side and made me just fall over. It was kind of like a roll up on top of the car and then go flying out into the intersection rolling kind of thing. My iPhone goes flying out of my pocket out in the middle of the street. I was more worried about my iPhone getting run over. And guy comes running up. He's like, Do you need a doctor? And I'm standing there going, no, I think I'm okay. And he starts saying something. I'm like, what are you saying? And I realize my AirPods did not go flying out of my ears, which you think they would, which was amazing. Apple, you can contact me, podcast@majorspoilers.com. We can talk about some further promotional considerations for your devices. So the guy, the driver is standing there and he's like, oh my God, are you okay? Okay. And I stand up and I'm mad, but I'm just okay that I'm alive. One of those kind of things, right? And it's like, seriously, I'm not injured. I'm like, I'm fine. And then I look at the guy and I realize he's like 6 inches taller. He's like got to be 6'4", 6'5". And he's like wide, like big burly guy. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. And he's a younger guy. He's not like an older guy. This is in my first passing as I'm trying to get over the shock of, hey man, you were hit by a car and now you're walking. Congratulations. One of those kind of shocking things. And so I'm like, look, I'm fine. There's obviously no damage to your car from a fat man hitting your car. But I do need to call the cops just to make sure that everything is covered in case something were to happen later. If I've got some weird concussion or something. And the guy that had run up the street is like, oh, do you need a doctor? I saw everything. Do you want me to call an ambulance? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I even called I dialed 911. They're like, what's your emergency? I'm like, it's not really an emergency, but I just had an accident on the corner of such and such a street. I'm fine, though. I don't need an ambulance. And the 911 operator was like, what about the other driver? I'm like, well, he was the only driver. I was walking and he hit me. So his airbags didn't deploy. So I'm sure he's just fine. And they're like, okay, we'll send an officer over there. You don't need an ambulance. I'm like, no, don't send an ambulance. And then I turn around and look and the kid is kid. Okay, here's the tip off here. He's on the phone and he's like, Mom, I just hit a guy. And I'm like, crap it. This is a high school kid. And then I see the sweatshirt that he has on. It's for one of the local high schools. I'm like, oh man, this kid's probably freaking out. And so I get off the phone with the cops and he comes up to try to talk to me again. And I'm like, listen, dude, don't say anything to me until the cops get here. And I think he thought I was going to press charges or something. But anytime that you hear something that I've learned, anytime that you are in an accident of any kind, it's great for you to get out and make sure that the other driver or the other person involved in the accident, or in this case, the pedestrian that you hit crossing the middle of a crosswalk, it's great to make sure that they are okay and make sure that they don't need an ambulance. But the two things you should never say when you approach an accident person is, I'm so sorry, and this was all my fault. Those are two things you don't want to ever say, because if anything did have to go to court, that can be used against you. And I know it's a very empathetic thing to say. I mean, that would be the first thing that I would want to say too, if I hit somebody, is, are you okay? I'm so sorry. This is all my fault. But those are two things you don't want to say. And so I didn't want this kid to say anything that could potentially get him in further trouble. And that's why I only wanted him to talk when the cops got here. So his mom comes up a minute later and she's all freaked out and the police come and I'm like, look, I don't think we need a report file. I just want to make sure that this is on record somewhere. I don't want to press charges against this kid, but just to make sure that, you know, in case something were to happen later, I just want to make sure that this is down. And so she took my name, took the kid's name and everything, called it in. Everything was cool. And then the kid admits to the cop, oh yeah, my windshield wasn't scraped all the way. And I told the cop, I was like, look, I honestly think the sun was shining in his face and he didn't see me. And he admitted that he hadn't scraped the windshield and the sun was in his face. So he got a talking to from the police officer. But in the end, that was it. It was over. He shook my hand. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Call me sir. Brr. And then the cop was like, do you need a ride home? I'm like, no, I was just at the beginning of my walk. I need to go finish my walk. So that's my story of getting hit by a car. I told you it was so dumb. It's such a dumb story. I laughed about it the entire rest of my walk. And of course, because I'd been waiting around for the cops, half my walk time was used up. So I only got to go on a 4-mile walk instead of a 6-mile walk. But I was just laughing the entire 3.5 miles the rest of the way. Just because of how stupid that was. And what a way to start a week. So there you go. That is my story. See, I told you guys are probably very disappointed now in that story. No, there were no blood and guts. No blood and guts. Jess, you messed my story about getting hit by a car. I think this is all kind of karma. This is my uptake from all of this. This is karma. My knee's still kind of a little tender, but not a big deal. I'm not like Nate. I think this was ultimately karma. You guys may remember me telling you the story about the dog that I bumped into with my car because he was just kind of dumb and walked out in the middle of the street and I slammed on my brakes and just, you know, like nudged him probably about as hard as what I got nudged. and the dog was fine, and I felt bad because the dog was kind of dumb. And then I ran into the dog, not like literally ran into him, but I encountered the dog again about 6 months ago and found out that he's this really, really old dog that the owners are like, when I met the owner, she's like, yes, we're just happy that he's alive every single day. He's so old. He barely gets around. I'm like, lady, he's running into our neighborhood all the time. I think this is karma coming back to bite me the same way that what happened to that dog. I honestly believe that. And the dog is fine. I am fine. The dog's old, though. I saw him the other day kind of just, usually when I walk up, because he's on this lawn a couple of blocks over from where I live. In the morning, he's just laying out on the grass. And usually when I approach, he'll get up and walk around a little bit. Or he's usually up walking around when I see him. The other day, he was like keeled over. Like I was like, oh my gosh, did I stumble across the day that the dog has passed away? And I had to walk really slow by the house to kind of get his eyes' attention. Finally, his eyes locked onto me, and he was just like, oh, hey, how you doing? Didn't wag his tail, didn't move anything. He's usually very nice. He probably knew that I got hit by that car. And I was like, see, you son of a bee? A few years, you'll be laying out on your front lawn, and people will be passing you by, giving you sympathy and pity. Think about that. Ugh, karma. Karma 2018. Maybe some good news. Not today, though. Not today was not a good news day. For the future of Major Spoilers. But maybe next week. Or the week after. But I think that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. Thank you so much for being a part of Finally Friday. Thank you for the phone calls, Bill and Nate. The rest of you are free to call in anytime. 75-727-1939 whenever we do the show. Or Steven_Schleicher on Skype. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video. Or if you are on Twitch, hello Twitch users and subscribers. We're affiliated with Twitch now. We're on the path to partnership. We just need more of you to get in there during the live shows and watch and check us out. And that channel is Major Spoilers on Twitch, twitch.tv/Major Spoilers. And that's where we will be doing our live streams from for the Major Spoilers podcast. When we get up to that level over at patreon.com/Major Spoilers, we are more than halfway to the getting on the live show. That'll have Matthew and Rodrigo and Ashley and myself all live Tuesday nights. Talking about comic books. We've also got another goal that's fastly approaching. I think we're, 178 or something like that from our next goal? Yeah, $178 from hitting our next goal of getting episodes of Critical Hit out to you 1 week early and commercial free. It's all possible thanks to our patrons. You can find out more at patreon.com/Major Spoilers. Until then, that's where we will wrap it up. Thank you so much again for being part of the Major Spoilers experience. I hope you have a fun and safe weekend. Shoveling snow, not getting hit by cars, lounging around reading comics. No show next week, but we will be back in 2 weeks to talk more. And until then, I hope you have a great Friday afternoon. Take care, everyone.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with Audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.